The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The Affordable Housing Bill offers equity loans of up to 30% on new-build homes, which cost under €400,000. Since the bill was published a number of weeks ago, it's received a lot of criticism from opposition parties, and the central bank also has its concerns. As well as that, the state's budget watchdog, the ESRI, warned that the shared equity home loan part of the bill will very likely lead to higher house prices. Well, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage and Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Fingal, Dara O'Brien, still believes that combined with the Land Development Agency Bill, this will bring us the chance to turn the tide of the housing crisis. And the Minister joins us on the line. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, when we spoke to you first, it was kind of the bones of the scheme, the idea. Then the last time we spoke to you, you fleshed it out a bit. And since then, a number of people have stuck their oars into your scheme. And let's start with the ESRI, who are quite critical of it in saying, look, the problem is supply, not affordability. And this is only going to push up house prices.
Yeah, well, the ESRI, I'll just deal with that. The bill has three components, Pat, and thanks for having me on again about that. It's affordable purchase homes on state-owned land. It's a cost rental, which is affordable rental that we've already launched, eight schemes now around the country. And a third component of that is a very targeted shared equity arrangement, which will help, you know, thousands of people out there who are stuck in an affordability gap. That's to the tune of 75 million, Pat. And the 75 million in the context of the overall mortgage market, which is 11 billion. It's less than 1%. So I'll deal with that piece in a minute. But just the ESRI, actually, their interaction has been very useful. They came to committee in the recent weeks and presented to the committee. And they did say, as part of it, actually, their opening statement wasn't as critical as some reported or indeed wanted it to be, is that they talked about the need for targeting measures of intervention is absolutely critical, which it is. The need to protect against any future inflation, which absolutely I agree with, and we're going to have measures within the bill to do that. And actually, they did concede at their contribution to the committee that they were giving general comments on risks around shared equity as opposed to specifically on my own scheme. So I welcomed their input into it. Actually, a number of the risks that they would see, could foresee in a shared equity type arrangement, we're going to address as part of our scheme. And that is actually very useful. But they actually said themselves that targeted approval and targeted measures such as mine will be, which are time-bound and focused at those who need them, actually have a great deal of merit and benefits. So, you know, when it was fleshed out at the committee hearing, which is what we do pre-legislative scrutiny for, you know, that discussion was able to happen back and forth. The central bank have been actually very helpful in this regard, and I think some comments attributed to them actually go back to last September, which were recently supported. And we're engaging, obviously, on the scheme with the central bank and the Department of Finance, and that's been going very well. So next week, we'll go into the final phase of pre-legislative scrutiny, where we'll have another couple of presenters to the committee with their views, like we had the housing agency in last week, who were very supportive of what we were doing, including the shared equity piece. And then we'll get into the Dáil with the bill at second stage. So I'm still on track to have this affordable bill, which will make a big difference for people and a big difference for those who've lost all hope in being able to own their own home, to have it in place toward the end of the summer.
The point that was being made by the ESRI and the former ESRI professor Edgar Morgenroth was talking about this yesterday, I think it was on the Hard Shoulder programme, was just saying, look, unless you have supply, any measures like these are kind of tinkering at best, but also not addressing the fundamental problem. So if you make housing somehow more affordable for some people without supply, the inevitable consequence is that house prices get pushed up. Every scheme government has ever done, and I don't know whether you remember back to the old Section 23 and Section 27 schemes whereby they gave tax relief to people purchasing these houses, the developers of the Section 23 and 27 gobbled up all the cream, if you like, that the government was offering. So the suggestion here is if you give people help, the developers will simply push up the price. Now, you have a ceiling of 400,000, but, you know, a house that should have sold for Yeah, go on. I was going to say so that if it was going to sell for 300,000, the developers say, oh, these people now with a bit of help from the government can afford 375. So that's what we'll charge.
Okay, the first point is extremely valid, and I agree with it completely. The issue is supply. And that's why these measures are actually supply-side measures, like building affordable homes on state-owned land. The week before last, we launched a scheme in Lusk in my own area where there'll be affordable homes built there, and they will start at 165,000 to 260,000. There will be other schemes will be rolled out through what's called the Service Sites Fund, which I'm actually changing to make sure we can deliver quicker. There's 310 million there, and they're focused at affordable homes. So supply is the issue, and we're talking about supply whilst we're in the middle of a construction shutdown. So I'm acutely aware of that we have to make sure that there are supply side measures to deliver affordability in the round.
Okay. So just a technical question from your bill, Minister. No, just want to ask you this question. You finish and then I'll ask you the question because it could pertain to
Lusk. I just wanted to mention the Land Development Agency, sorry, because this can't be looked at in isolation. Also, you know, we've brought forward the Land Development Agency, which is a topic that you've discussed many times and many other commentators, which is to bring state land into productive use. There's so much state land out there that's sitting idle that could be used for housing. And that is a really significant supply-side measure, the Land Development Agency Bill, which will conclude at second stage in the Dáil next week. Now, I've been in 7 months that we've managed to get this bill, to work it through, to improve it. And the state actually will have a big role in driving supply through the Land Development Agency Bill and indeed through the Affordable Housing Bill. So I just wanted to make sure that we're not discussing them in isolation. That's all that.
Now, the other question was about the criteria for qualifying for your scheme. And I was wondering, in your bill, and I know, you know, people don't like too much bureaucracy, but at the same time, can you lay down criteria by which housing developments would qualify? In other words, someone tries to sell a shoebox under your scheme, and you say, no, sorry, that's not fit for a family, not having it. Yeah. So that scheme doesn't qualify. Can you lay down the criteria?
Yes, we can.
You can. Okay.
And we can. Because and we're doing that already under the affordable bill, which is the affordable purchase and state-owned land, that we very much drive the type of houses that will be on that. I've mentioned the scheme in Lusk that will have the house design and all that is something that has to be approved before the state enters into that contract. That will be the same, Pat, I would imagine, right the way through. Now, when we're going to publish the specific details of the criteria for someone to apply, we'll do that by way of regulation. And the reason we're going to do it by way of regulation is because that makes it easier to to change it into the future should we need to tweak a scheme rather than having it in primary legislation. We will have regional price caps as well, Pat, so it's not just, I know you mentioned the figure of 400,000. In different parts of the country, there's different levels of affordability. So we need that flexibility to be able to set regional price caps. And looking at the people that we're focusing on, which are people right out there at the moment who are probably listening to your show, who are paying rents of up to €2,000 per month, that if they could get a mortgage, they would only be paying a mortgage of €1,100 a month. And many of those people want to have an opportunity to buy their own home. That's why these targeted measures are needed. The status quo, you know, just continuing and trundling along is not going to do it. We are in the middle of a housing crisis. The state does need to get involved. And these measures are very much supply-side measures that will help to boost supply. I use an example of a similar scheme, but not the same scheme, in England, that where they had a scheme such as this led to a 15% increase in supply and less than 1% increase in house price inflation. But to get to your point, which is really valid about the quality of the house, the type of the home as well, that criteria will be set down. It's not a question that someone will be getting this type of loan or indeed entering into an affordable purchase on the state-owned land, and a family will be buying a shoebox. Yeah. This is about affordable housing, sustainable, good for families, good for individuals, and good for communities. Mm-hmm. And some of the responses to it politically, I'm not talking about the ESRI because they are perfectly entitled and right, and I welcome their input into it. Some of the responses politically from the left and hard left has been bordering on hysterical on this, when they've been talking about the issue of house price inflation. €75 million in a mortgage market of €11 billion, less than 1%, and they're targeted measures. I want people to own their own homes. I want to help them to do that, and I'm determined to do it. And that's why this bill, coupled with the Land Development Agency bill, will actually do that. Others may want to, you know, pontificate and delay and delay. I don't want to. We can't afford any further delays in dealing with our housing crisis.
Yeah. Now, the question of the central bank, I mean, what the central bank did was lay down borrowing rules. The people have to have their deposit and there is a multiplier of their income. And the reason for that was to stop reckless lending on the part of the banks. The charge could be made that, in a sense, the state rowing in with its own lending is, you know, contributing to the notion that some people will actually end up living in a home that they really cannot afford. And if the state wasn't involved, it would be utterly unaffordable. Does the central bank have to change its rules to accommodate the state?
No, they won't. And we have no desire, and there is no question of us looking to amend any of the central bank lending rules that are in place there. They're right, they're proper, and they're prudent. And that would be the case. When the scheme is published, you'll see that the equity piece, which will probably average around 20%, Pat, it'll be low. Most people won't be going necessarily for the full 30%. It's not a second mortgage. There won't necessarily be a requirement to pay that out. It'll be an equity piece in the house. When you look at the bigger driver for delivery of affordable homes, which is the affordable homes and state-owned lands, there will also be an equity stake in that the council in a given area will take, like the one that I've referenced in Lusk, up to 20%, where the council take that equity on behalf of the state. And there might be a very small servicing fee relating to that piece, but no requirement to buy it out. So it's not a double mortgage. And some of the charges laid against it, and that's what politics is about and political debate, that's fine. But some of the charges have actually been made without even seeing the scheme or wanting to look into it in any way. So it seems to me that some see the housing crisis as a political opportunity, as opposed to them having a responsibility to helping to resolve it. So what we're going to do in government with these measures, and coupled with a very, very large social house building program, the largest in the history of the state, is actually to tackle our housing waiting lists in a very significant way, and to give hope and to give real measures that are going to help people buy homes at affordable rates, or indeed rent homes at affordable rates through our cost rental, which is a tenure of housing that's new to Ireland, that's been talked about for about 10 years, and we're delivering it within the first 7 months of the new government. 8 schemes across this country that will deliver the first cost rental units, and we'll build on that into next year. So it's a pretty exciting time, actually, but we're going to be extremely prudent and cautious in our approach here. But these measures will help, and okay, they will have an impact.
There has been, I suppose, criticism of that very prudence and caution and slowness from Dublin City Council, the Chief Quantity Surveyor, Mark Burke. I mean, you saw that, where he's saying 6 years it could be from the moment you decide, OK, there's a site, we own the land, it's terrific. Then you've a European laid down procurement process, which can take maybe half that time, 3 years to get through, to make sure that everything is kosher, that it's not jobs for your pals or contracts for your friends. And then the department's own system can add another 3 years to it to get the money that the department, you know, will rightfully give to the council to help with the construction. 6 years from the time the site is isolated. I mean, it's madness. It's crazy.
It is. It is. And actually, in other instances, the 6 years will be elongated further by having, objections at a council level to moving on with certain schemes as well. And so politicians of all parties have a role in making sure that they're not part of the problem either. But to deal with, Mark spoke at a symposium yesterday that was a useful one, and I saw reports from it. The procurement area is something that we are governed by EU procurement rules, and that's something that you have to be guided by, so you can't just set them aside, and he wasn't suggesting that either. But two areas in particular, one, what we can do to make it better. I have already changed the single stage approval process, which is upping the limits to 6 million. So it means that a council can actually pretty much get a single stage approval for a scheme on a value up to 6 million. Now in Dublin, and he makes the point, that doesn't really have an impact because a lot of the schemes will be over the 6 million euro threshold. So I am looking at that. But the really important point, I think, that was made was around certainty of investment and a multi-annual programme. And with colleagues such as Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue in government, we are working through our review of our national development plan to look at a multi-annual plan on housing, because that gives the type of certainty around funding that Dublin City Council were talking about. Now, the issues that Mark raised are just some of the issues There are other issues.
But to tease out some of the issues that he talks about, for example, you cancel commissions after all the tendering process and after getting the money from the department, they commission a contractor to build a scheme and the contractor does a brilliant job. They have another scheme, pretty similar, but it's back to square one. Back to the blank page. They can't say, Joe Bloggs did a fantastic job there. His price was good. It's value for money. We can't just give him the contract because we'll get a legal letter from somebody saying, I should have got that, even though I've no track record in this regard. I can understand it because how does a small man get a break? But, you know, it's got to, there's got to be a better way.
Well, there has to be. I mean, also, I think we're talking in the context of a housing crisis right now. So what would have be normal maybe a number of years ago should not be normal now. I think as part of the contribution made there, John O'Connor of the housing agency actually mentioned that maybe, we look at, maybe we look at pre-approved lists or panels of contractors and see whether in some instances there is actually a challenge. I think many of the instances around this are following the correct procedure, and that's right, but not having a pre-approval list for fear that that would be challenged as opposed to it actually being challenged. Yeah. So we're going to have to look in that space because one thing that struck
perhaps the scope, Minister, for establishing the criteria by which you get on the list. In other words, you've done a private scheme, it came in at a price, quality and so on. That was good. Okay, you can join our list and, you'll get your turn when the opportunity arises. That could be a way.
Well, you have a lot on your plate. The converse of that as well was something that was mentioned by Mark and others yesterday, is that we do, unfortunately, have had situations in the past whereby contractors who haven't carried out a good job on a previous scheme have then been approved for another scheme because we've been following it by the letter of the law. I would expect common sense to prevail in instances like that as well, to be part of the decision-making process. That's not something I believe can be sustained or stood over, that we're awarding contracts to people who don't do the job properly and don't do it well. And I have seen examples of that myself. So that is an area that needs to be tightened up. The symposium yesterday was very useful because a lot of this information came up. And I think right now that when we're in the middle of ensuring that we're tackling this housing crisis by measures that I've just discussed with you earlier, like the Land Development Agency and the Affordable Housing Bill, we have to look at the other blockages, and I am looking at that, around what we can do better on procurement, what we can do better on design. Like, we do have standard designs now, and we're going to be launching very shortly a suite of designs for state builds that are like off the shelf that will speed up that whole design process from exterior to interior. And then you're knowing that you're going to get the quality that you need. Like, I was in the Liberties last week near St. Teresa's Gardens, and the quality of the build of the new homes there is absolutely exceptional. So we're getting our quality right. We've got to speed up our delivery, though. We are making inroads into our social housing lists, but we then need to balance that by ensuring that those who want to own and buy homes and rent long-term at affordable rates also get that opportunity. And that's why I'm really determined to do that.
All right, Minister, the next time we have you on, we'll talk about maybe rent caps for co-living to stop that particular blight, and the business of apartments being built to rent only and not enough to buy. But that's perhaps for another day. Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today. Now,
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.